Hello there. Welcome to Exploring the Eighth House with yours truly, Miriam Slosberg, where we explore the mysterious side to life. So today's topic is one that most of us would rather shove under the rug, and that is death. Each and every one of us knows that one day we will no longer be here. However, that is the extent of what we are willing to accept when it comes to death. And we just shove the rest about it aside. So anything to do with death frightens the average individual or makes him or her squeamish. And that is due to the fact that over several centuries in the Western culture, death has been hidden and tucked away. The less we are exposed to something, the less we will be accepting of it, and the less we will embrace it. So today, I'm excited to be interviewing a fascinating guest. Her name is Lauren Leroy, and she is known as Little Miss Funeral. Lauren is a 25-year-old licensed funeral director in New York State. Little Miss Funeral blog was started in March 2012 as a platform for Lauren to share her thoughts and ideas on the funeral industry. And today we're going to be talking to Lauren about death and the funeral industry. So, Lauren, hello. How are you doing?
Hi, Miriam. Good. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. So I'm going to ask you, what made you decide to go into the funeral industry?
Well, I actually have family who owns a funeral home, not necessarily the most immediate family. It's a great aunt and great uncle of mine. So I kind of grew up in the environment with a funeral home in the background. You know, when I had family members pass away, we always knew who to call and whatnot. But when I wanted to become a funeral director was right around when I was 12 years old. When I was 12, I lost two important people, first one being my great uncle who owned the funeral home, and then a couple months later, my grandfather passed away. So I lost, you know, two important guys in my life in a very short period of time. So that was really what sparked my interest in the field.
Okay. Okay, and then you just went after it after that, eh?
Yeah, that when I was 12, like I said, that was the first time I told my parents that I wanted to be a funeral director, and they kind of laughed because what 12-year-old says they want to be a funeral director, but I was very determined, and everything from that point forward, you know, was just working towards my goal of becoming a funeral director. So I graduated from high school, and right from high school, I went into mortuary school and got my degree in funeral services and went right on to my apprenticeship, which in New York State, they require you to, once you pass all of your exams, to study under a licensed funeral director for a year. So I think I was fully licensed by the time I was 22, I believe.
Well, good for you. And here
Thank
you are
you.
Today.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still going.
Fantastic. So I'm going to be asking some questions that's probably going to make, again, the average person a little squeamish, but we have to. We're here to accept death and embrace it. So I'm going to ask this question. I'm sure a lot of people wonder this as well, especially those who really haven't dealt with death quite a bit. So I'm going to ask, how quickly does a body need to be removed from the place where death occurred before it starts to decay?
Honestly, not as quickly as people probably think. And in a lot of instances, how quickly a body needs to be removed from the place of death depends solely on the way a person passed away. I mean, if somebody passes away naturally in their home, the body can actually remain in the home for a little while. It's not anything urgent that a person passed and you have to call the funeral director right away. Whether it's a couple of hours to a couple of days in
really?
A normal situation, yeah, you can actually wait a little bit. Now, let's say a person passes away at their home in the middle of a hot summer day with no air conditioning and a little bit, you know, of a different situation like that. Decomposition in that instance would definitely happen more rapidly just because of those situations. But if you know, mom passes away in her bed and if everything is okay, you don't have to call anybody right away.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that, because I think that is something that a lot of people weren't sure about, and they would think, oh, my goodness, he or she passed away. I got to call the funeral director or what now. So,
well, that's
okay, well,
really
thanks.
What happens. People don't know what to do, so they
right.
say, call the funeral director right away. They're nervous about it. So
right,
their
absolutely.
First instinct is get rid of the body, not, oh, let's take some time with mom before we call
mm-hmm.
the funeral director.
Right, right. Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Now, this is something as well that a lot of people have probably wondered about the embalming process. So could you talk about that if you don't mind?
Oh, yeah, sure. So with regard to the embalming process, the first thing that normally happens is that the funeral director or embalmer will, and I'm going to use like funeral director and embalmer. In New York State, it's a dual license, so you're kind of both. I know in other states, you know, the terms may mean different things, but
mm-hmm.
That's what I mean when I'm talking in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So in New York State, you know, we can, traditionally, we're going to be washing the body,
mm-hmm.
you know, just soap, water, shampoo, just like you would wash a normal body.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I would always do is I would set the features. And what I mean by that is you want to close the person's eyes and you want to close
right.
the person's mouth.
Right.
There are different techniques for closing eyes and closing mouths, whether, you know, it's suturing it or sewing them shut or using glue or different adhesives. Normally,
mm-hmm.
A lot of funeral directors would prefer to suture, especially the mouth closed.
Right.
And then once that is done, you would raise an artery. So
mm-hmm.
you'd raise an artery and a vein, and I always say in that situation, you hook up an embalming machine to the artery, and I always explain it as it kind of takes the place of the heart with,
mm-hmm.
you know, the machine pumping the fluid, which is basically just preservatives and dye to give people a more, what we say, natural complexion. And it pumps the fluid throughout the body, and as it's doing that, the blood is drained through the veins. And
okay.
a lot of funeral directors and embalmers, they'll massage the person to make sure that they're getting fluids and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then
okay.
you have to treat the cavities, and that's a whole different situation.
That's a whole different story right there. So, wow, okay. Well, thanks for sharing that, because that is something that I know I've wondered about. Now, I've read about the process in books like Stiff by Mary Roach and
yeah,
a few other books
book.
As well. I'm sorry?
I love that book. That's
it's a great book,
it
isn't it?
Really
yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, it's a great book. But a lot of people will probably, they probably haven't even heard of that and are probably wondering. So thanks for sharing that. So
yeah.
I'm also going to ask, now, I know you were talking about that the body doesn't have to be removed right away in most situations, but the thing is, what happens if there is somebody who ends up passing away, and the thing is that nobody notices until the area around where the person passed away smells, whether it's an apartment or a house, and then the only way that it's noticed is that it smells and someone calls the cops because of the smell. So I'm going to ask a very possibly strange question, maybe not so much, but is it possible to embalm a body that is decomposed?
You know, there are different levels of decomposition, whether it's purging or skin slip or,
mm-hmm.
you know, discoloration. So definitely for certain stages of decomposition, you can embalm. It's actually
mm-hmm.
somewhat normal, too, whether there's a little discoloration starting. A lot of times
mm-hmm.
the embalming process can take that away.
Mm.
However, once you get to certain stages of decomposition,
mm-hmm.
not to say that the body couldn't be embalmed, but the embalming process would only do so much.
Mm-hmm.
I once embalmed a gentleman who was found in his home, and he had probably been dead for about at least 2 days, we were thinking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the family wanted to see him. So,
oh, okay.
You know, he was probably one of the worst cases that I personally had ever worked on, and he was discolored. He had a lot of skin slip. His space in itself was very black in the coloring, and the embalming process went okay, but the only way that I could get rid of that discoloration was actually to go very, very, very heavy with the makeup, and I actually almost had to use like a spray painting technique with an airbrush to make him normal color. So, I mean, it's not that you can't embalm a body, it's just there are different processes and you know, different dilemmas that will arise with different stages of the decomposition.
And what about the smell?
You know, I hate to say it, but the smell is the smell. Funeral directors have a lot of tricks that they can do. Okay. I think that that's something that you can kind of mask, but once the body starts to smell, there's only so much that you can do. There have been cases where I have politely walked into a room and have just kind of walked by the casket and did a little Febreze, hoping that nobody would know, you know. And I mean, it is what it is. In most cases, the family knows. I mean, the funeral director should be very upfront, and a lot of times the family would be the ones who had discovered the person, so they kind of know what they look like beforehand. They, you know, had in some cases smelled the decomposition smells and whatnot. There are some cases when outside parties will tell people maybe you shouldn't view the person, whether it was a police officer that found them or a firefighter. And that's a decision that the family and funeral director should make together.
Right. Understandable. So now I'm going to ask you, I'm sure you've had a lot of very interesting requests asked of you as far as a funeral request. So what was maybe the strangest request that was asked of you?
You know, believe it or not, I don't necessarily get a lot of strange requests. One thing that kind of pops into my mind is when people are giving me items that they want to be placed in the casket, they normally will let me know, I want mom's ring back before you close the lid of the casket, or I want, you know, this picture to be buried with her. But I have one instance where I had a family give me an outfit and never gave me any kind of request. And this person was being viewed, but then they were going to be cremated. And when before the family left for the visitation, before we were going to go on with the cremation process, they had asked if they could have all of the deceased's clothes back. So they wanted their loved one to be cremated without any of the clothes. And that was just something that, you know, they never said beforehand that they wanted. And I always thought, oh, okay, well, that's different. Mm. But, you know, we went by what they wanted.
Absolutely. And that's what you've got to do. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Now, I'm going to bring up something that might make you shake your head. But I do feel it's important to bring this up because I know that there's a lot of stereotypes about morticians because it's a job that many people would just stay away from, as we were talking about the fact that a lot of people shun death, right? So, of course, there's a stereotype that morticians are morbid, a lot of them are weird, and some might even be given the stereotype that they're into necrophilia. So what do you say about all that?
You know, when you read about those instances and you see things like that, you're always going to read the stories in the media about funeral directors specifically that are out there and that are crazy. That just makes for good reading, quite frankly.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you never really hear the positives of the funeral industry. Normally it's about the crematory operator who wasn't cremating the people. They were keeping them in the garage and things like that. And with regards to necrophilia, I think that that's the same thing. I believe it's, you know, a psychological disorder, whether it's stemming from these certain people's fetishes or whether it's stemming from the fact that they don't believe they'll find love or acceptance from the living, so they turn to the dead. Whatever it is, it's, you know, in my opinion, a psychological issue that gets a lot of attention because the average person would never imagine doing anything like that. So, yeah, with those instances, like I said, you always hear about the bad and the weird and very rarely read about the good. So,
well, this is how stereotypes are created. So you're very right about that. Okay, and I'm also going to ask you, how would you say your career has affected your relationship with death?
Quite personally, I think that it has really helped me with accepting death. I mean, I am 25, and hopefully I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. But working so closely with the dead has really strengthened my faith. I am a religious person. I am a Christian, and I feel that working with the dead and helping people and issuing them, you know, getting them through this issue has just made me believe that this is not the end. And because of that, I accept that whenever I go is when I go, but this isn't my only life. So
Yep. I believe that too. I believe that as well. Okay. Well, that's good to hear. Now, like I was saying before, in the Western culture today, death is shunned. And, I mean, let's face it, dead bodies are not seen by the average individual, whereas during the Middle Ages, it was a common thing to see a corpse rotting in the middle of the streets. So as a result, an aversion to death has been created, and there absolutely needs to be more acceptance and far less fear of death, since it is part of life. So can you add anything to that?
You know, I think that our country is going in a positive direction with regards to accepting death. I think that it's going to take a while until it is fully accepted, just because we have the mindset as Americans that if it, we don't talk about it, it didn't happen. If I don't have a visitation and if I don't have a funeral service, I don't have to deal with the fact that my mom died. We're kind of those people. But there are a lot of awesome funeral directors out there, especially with the use of social media. I have been able to connect with so many amazing funeral directors, honestly, from all over the world. And there's such a death positive movement. Whether people are, you know, opting for home funerals or green burials or whatever it is, you see death cafes popping up all over the place. And I personally just believe it's important to get talking about death. Whatever you stand for is absolutely fine. It's not my job as a funeral director to tell you what to do. It's my job as a funeral director to usher you through this process and give you as much knowledge as I can for your situation. And I think that the more we talk about it, the more accepting will become of it.
Well, this is what we're doing. So, that's great. Now, I mean, the thing is, I know, I'm aware that there's Buddhist monks that actually have a ritual called the Nine Cemetery Contemplations, and they do this to embrace death. And I don't know if many people know what it is, but they're actually meditating on corpses that are decaying on every stage, and that is their way of embracing death. So what do you think about that?
You know, I think that it's an interesting concept, and once again, it's not my job to judge anybody. It's not my job to tell them that their traditions are right or wrong, and if that helps them to accept the death, then I think that's a beautiful thing. I really do.
I'm in complete agreement. It's just that is something that a lot of people would just shake their heads like, oh my goodness. But I think
because
what they're doing,
it's not common. It's not common. So if it's not common, we're nervous about it. So
absolutely. All right, Lauren, if people have questions to ask, how can they get a hold of you?
Basically, if you search Little Miss Funeral, I think I'm just about everywhere. My website is littlemissfuneral.com. My email is littlemissfuneral@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Little Miss Funeral. So,
fantastic. Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Lauren. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this interview with me. And this is what we're here to do. We're here to educate people about the fact that death is not creepy or scary or anything like that. It is part of life. So is there any kind of closing statement you want to put out?
I just think it's important for everybody to let their loved ones know what their wishes are. Even if it's kind of said in a joking manner, let your loved ones know that you want to be cremated, you want to be buried, you want a Tibetan sky burial, you know, whatever you
okay.
want. Just let them know. It'll make a very difficult time a lot easier for
yes.
them.
I'm all for planning ahead, so I'm in complete agreement. Well, thank you, Lauren. This was quite interesting, and you have yourself a great day, and everyone else, you enjoy the rest of your days as well. Bye for now.